Good afternoon. Welcome to a tape-recorded festival forum. In cooperation with the University of Illinois' fourth annual Festival of Contemporary Arts, WILL presents every Monday a forum dealing with the festival exhibit. Today's forum is entitled, A Clergyman, a Businessman, and an Artist Discuss the Exhibition. Participating in the forum are the Reverend Edward Duncan, Chaplain of St. John's Catholic Chapel here on the campus, Mr. Harry Millard of the White Line Laundry in Champaign, and Larsha Feitelson, visiting artist from Los Angeles, visiting professor of art. I am your moderator, James Shipley of the Art Department on the campus. Now, I think, Father Duncan, I'll ask you to express your viewpoint first and get this thing started.
Well, Professor Shipley, I find the exhibit at the fourth annual festival here on the campus very interesting one. I must say that as I inspected the various items in the exhibit, I found myself at a loss to explain some of them to myself, and I thought that others who were viewing the exhibit with me found themselves similarly at a loss. My general impression was that many of the works of this exhibit are extremely subjective, I might say, that one has to have extensive documentation from the artist to even begin to understand what some of the paintings mean. That was a basic impression that I derived. I wouldn't say that of everything in the show, but certainly many of the pieces seem to me to lean heavily on the subjective.
And particularly, would you say those which are the most contemporary, those which tend to be pointing the new direction?
Well, I would suppose that that's what the ones that I refer to, how they would be classified, yes.
Now, I hope Mr. Feitelson will keep those points in mind. First, I want to ask Mr. Millard, though, to express his point of view.
Well, I am enjoying this panel discussion very, very much, and I did enjoy going to the exhibit, rather thrilled at the prospects of what it might hold forth to me after hearing Professor Donovan talk about a display of contemporary art at a meeting of the Rotary Club not long ago, and I felt that I would have a more complete understanding of the work on display than I had had before, and although I enjoyed the exhibit last year, I must say that I enjoyed it and got a lot more out of it this year than I did before.
Because of this explanation?
That's right.
As you felt then, you had some point of departure, that you weren't viewing these things, from the standpoint of one person who was not in a place to communicate with the artist.
Well, as a layman, my opinion of art, first of all, is that it is beauty. And I cannot say without some indoctrination, based on what I might see, I could not have quite considered them beautiful, but I believe that I did see beauty in some of them after having heard Professor Donovan explain what they really were and meant.
Mr. Feitelson, what do you feel about this exhibition? And then I hope you will go on and answer some of Reverend Duncan's charges that the paintings on the whole are too subjective, too individualistic.
Well, I agree with Father Duncan that the art is subjective. As a matter of fact, I think it's characteristic of all the work done today, not only in America, but in Europe also. But to say that it's subjective is not sufficient, because art cannot be art unless it is subjective. What probably Father Duncan means is that it's individually subjective. It's probably too private a language. I believe that's a sort of confusion that many share. However, I think that the art of today is one in which the artist is driving himself more into his own subconscious and also his inner self, which may be conscious, because all the former ideologies regarding art values, what is art, have fallen apart. The artists themselves have found these concepts limited, only to be displaced by others which they thought were the answer. Today, the artist finds that no one single norm answers the question of what is art. And he knows that he must return to the source of all art, the fountain of art. And not only the source of all art, but also the place where it is enjoyed. And that is in our inner psyche, and it cannot submit to mechanical analysis. We cannot say, describe the thing, unless the listener has had a similar sensation. And I use the analogy of color. To one who has not experienced, say, the color red, he would hardly understand what the color red is. And so it is with the experiences in art. We can only talk about the quality, the ecstasy, or the emotional impact of certain works of art if others have experienced it in a similar form. Now, we can say, for instance, that certain colors are hot. Now, the colors themselves are not hot. It's analogous to heat. We say certain colors are sour. We know color has no taste. Perhaps it has a taste, and it certainly will not be sour, maybe something else. But we know it's analogous to perhaps a very sour lemon. Or we say it's dusty, or other things. In other words, it's always the analogy which has the meaning. And it seems to me that art, if taken out of the metaphorical world, is no longer art. So the artist today must give his inner world an experience, or experience a form. And since the collective idea or ideology no longer exists, as it did, say, in the medieval times, where all the people shared and were born into and were completely oblivious to any other culture than their own, and therefore gave it a form and evaluated each artist by his ability to be perfect in that form, since this doesn't exist under our democratic setup, which makes room for every large group belief, small group belief, and individual belief, the artist finds no one single yardstick by which to measure his art. Therefore, he can do nothing else but speak convincingly, or at least he hopes to, and he must convince himself first that what he is saying is communicable. After that, he hopes that it will read.
Now, Father Duncan, you wouldn't object to Mr. Feitelson's point that art is an inner thing, an expression of the spiritual, would you?
No, not in this sense, at least, Mr. Shipley, that certainly art being an activity that is intellectual in character primarily, and that it comes from within and is the work certainly of a human mind and of the spirit, in that sense, certainly, I take no objection to what Mr. Feitelson says. In fact, it's encouraging to me to hear an artist stressing the importance of the spiritual as distinguished from the overemphasis that we know in our times upon the material and the materialistic. I think that's a very good point. I would say, however, that in Mr. Feitelson's discussion of metaphor, which I believe is valid, I think there should be some cognizance of the fact that metaphor, for instance, in literature, has some recognizable connection with the idea that is being metaphorically expressed, that is, with the reality itself. And I am at a loss to understand how, in certain art pieces, the if we may say, the metaphor of a metaphor is carried out, in that I don't believe there's any recognizable connection with reality. I wonder sometimes if this question doesn't come down to asking whether the artist paints simply for himself to express what he feels, or whether he has some other purpose in painting. Because I feel that otherwise, each individual work of art, certainly in these new media, would have to be individually explained, and in that sense do not have the universality that I should think would characterize a true art.
Would you like to say something on that, Mr. Feitelson?
Well, the description of a metaphor is hardly valid, because the first experience, the inexperience in itself, in order to be an inexperience, and an inexperience alone, must in no way resemble the outside. Therefore, it cannot be a metaphor. It is in itself an experience, and it has its own identity. And just like joy, or happiness, or loneliness, or sadness, or ecstasy, we have no way of describing these things. We could have certain lines and certain forms which are metaphorically happy or metaphorically severe or sad or lugubrious or mysterious. And we say so before pictures. We say those colors are very strange and mysterious. The colors are actually tube colors. We'll buy them so many pennies a tube. But they have an emotional existence when the artist relates them on the canvas. And very often they are communicable. But if one simply is objective in the sense of not seeing the subjective side, but simply seeing it as material, he says so much paint, and he misses the spiritual side. And I believe that the universality, which is the most important side of art, because every artist is in quest endlessly for an absolute, excepting in this case it doesn't happen to be a cult or something which is imposed upon him by doctrine, but rather that which God has given him, his sensibilities, by which he lives, by which he actually lives from happiness to sadness, by approval and rejection. This is the world that has meaning. Therefore, giving form to those sensibilities by these choices, by the ability to be excited or to be made sad or to be thrilled, just like great music is capable of giving us. Those are the sensations which are in each and every one. This is not merely the property of the artist. It is only the artist who plays upon these things. And he has to play upon his own instruments, his musical instruments, so to speak, inwardly, which is within himself. And if it's done with great ability, it will, the audience will respond, if they will only open up to it and not seek something else. And usually they're seeking some other kind of a motif or a concept and are not listening at all to their inner self.
Now, if I understand you, Mr. Feitelson, you're saying that the viewer, the layman, goes to these pictures and expects to find something from his prior experience, that he goes looking for something that he knows himself.
Exactly.
And and Father Duncan is, he asks the question, is there not some message? Shouldn't there be some, if this message is to be given, shouldn't it be communicated in a language that is understood, both by the artist and by the viewer? Is that right?
Well, I'd say...
In fact, Mr. Millard asked the same question. He says that he goes to these pictures, and after he's had an explanation by Professor Donovan, then he understands and he enjoys. But is this language of the artist so individualistic that it takes an explanation?
Well, that's
is that good?
That's a good way of putting the question, Mr. Shipley. I believe that I might take a piece of paper here and put a circle on it and say, now this subjectively to me represents New York City. On the other hand, I might say, well, subjectively, this represents a beautiful homestead in my hometown. Now, if every piece of art must be explained in that manner to everybody who looks at it, I say that it misses the possibility of being universal, regardless of how intimately connected it may be with the subjective idea of the artist who indicates the point.
I think that's a good example.
It's a good example, excepting that it's incorrect, because there you're not using a form, you're using a symbol or a shorthand which stands for an experience. It's